All right. Now let's look at this, and I'm going to kind of walk through it, and just, if you will, just try to digest it into your spirit, because it is a revelation. And let's read this verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 1. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the things that we see were not made out of something that was visible. They were made out of something that we couldn't see. Now, just because we couldn't see it doesn't mean that it's not something. Because the comment is that God made the world out of nothing. That is not true. He made it out of a substance called faith. Now, the thing about you and I is that you and I have been born again. And if you come over to Romans chapter 12, please. And in Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not dead one, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man, what? The measure of faith. Now look at verse 1. I beseech ye therefore who? Brethren. And look at the last part of verse 3, that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He is not talking about everybody. He's talking about people who are brethren, those who have been born again. So once you are born again, you get the same measure of faith that everybody else who got born again got. Now, this measure of faith is the same faith that God used when he created the universe. Same faith. Now, I won't go there now, but in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, he says, have faith in God. And another way of saying that in the Greek, it says, have the God kind of faith. In other words, hey, listen, don't use your car because your car may not be able to handle what you're about to do. Why don't you just take my keys and use my car? I'm not saying that. We're just playing now. I'm just saying, just take my key. So that's what I'm saying. God's saying, don't use what you got. Use what I've got. Let me give you my faith, because my faith is going to take you all the way through. What you got might give out halfway, but what I'm gonna give you is gonna take you all the way to the promised land. Okay? Now I'd like you to look at a verse here, verse 2, and you're familiar with it. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'd like that to be put up on the screen in the Amplified translation, if you could help me out there. Up on the screen in the Amplified translation. He said, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adopted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. So that helps with another degree of understanding. The word there, renewing, has to do with renovation. Has to do with renovation. I'm going to renovate this apartment. I'm going to renovate this house. What are you going to do? You're going to leave the basic structure in place. But what I'm going to do is get in there and tear out this old plumbing and get all this stuff and this mold and anything that's in there. I'm going to get this all cleaned out, and I'm going to put something new on the inside of there. I don't think I don't know how you feel about it, but it really, I like to see that when I see a kind of an old structure, you know, and you walk inside and this thing looks like, I mean, it'll just knock you out. I mean, it seems like it's been done so well, not knock you out, but it seems like it's been done so well until you look at it and say, wow, you couldn't tell this from the outside. Man, this thing is really something. And the same thing about a car. You take an old car and so forth. You get inside of this and they have redone this whole thing. So the same thing about you and I. God left our bodies intact, but he filled up something on the inside. He took out that old person that was inside of there, and a brand new person got born inside of that body. So now the thing that we have to do is understand we've got to renew our minds. Because our minds now are going to set up the boundary in terms of what we can do. It's going to tell us in our way of thinking how we're to behave, because you behave according to how you think. So what we've got to do is renew the mind. How do we renew it? We get the Word of God and begin to hear the Word of God, begin to speak the Word of God, act on the Word of God, and that renews our mind. So what we're trying to do is get our mind and our spirits and our confession, everything in harmony together. Get it all working together, and that's the way God wants us. All lined up, of course, with the Word of God. Now, once you come into the kingdom, you're no longer marked by this world's boundaries. And that's found over there in, come on over, you know, wait now. I tell you what. Put something right there, please, and we're going to come back. Coming over to John chapter 17, please, the Gospel of John in chapter 17. Now, I'm going to lay a principle on you tonight, and I'd like you to just grab hold to it, and just because it's a renewing process that you have to do with your mind to really start to operate in this. Look what it said in John chapter 17, verse 14. And I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Say, I'm not of the world. Now, you're in this world, but you're not of this world, okay? So when I say not of the world, we mean not you're no longer defined or marked by this world's boundaries. So this world's boundaries are not your boundaries. You can do much, much more than this world can do or people in the world can do without Christ, because you're no longer defined by this world and its system. That's why I say sometimes some people try to speak to people that they know before they got saved and come in here and learn some things, and then they go back and try to tell other people about them, and other people just can't even grasp what you're talking about. Because they're oriented totally different, and your spirit is seeing things from a whole nother perspective. Now, so boundaries. What boundaries do we see? And as I look in here, I start looking over, and let's just take a simple one, please. Let's go over to Matthew's Gospel and Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Glory to God. Let me know when you get there. Matthew chapter 14. All right. Hold on, let me just put on a note here. All right. Matthew chapter 14, this is the account of Peter walking on water. And in verse 22, is straightway Jesus constrained disciples to go and get into the ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, if you'll notice that the forces and circumstances of the earth, of the world, were controlling their destinies. If you'll notice it right here, the forces were. Now, here they were trying to fight the forces and doing it, of course, in the way intellectually that they had been taught in the world system. Verse 25, on the fourth watch of the night, that's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus came into them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, there was trouble, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water." And he said, what? "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to who? Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, what? "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" All right. Now, this is what I call breakthrough thinking. Breakthrough thinking. Now remember, your thinking is going to dictate your behavior. Okay? Now, it's kind of interesting that the Bible says, unless you become as little children, you'll no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that has a lot of references, but what does an adult do? They analyze. What does a child do? He just believes. Really, just believes. And I know in my life, I sometimes didn't want to believe, but when I had spent most of that Saturday in the local theater, Macon Theater, watching Wolfman and Frankenstein, and I got back to that bed at night, and my brother, who was in the upper bunk or lower bunk, started saying, I didn't want to believe. But that had programmed my thinking. Say amen to that. Amen. And it was going to dictate my behavior. Very predictable. So here, Peter, I think, was chosen as the first pope, if you will, the leader of the church, potentate. And I believe he was chosen because he had this childlike quality about him. Amen. That he didn't analyze everything. Right. And many times, faith cannot be proved out analytically. Now, hear what I'm saying. I think it can be reasonable, but you're going to have to reason according to God. The way the world has trained us, it has trained us so that when the truth does come, people in the world won't receive it. Because they'll think that they have it already. Are you following what I'm saying? So, children, They just believe. They just do it. And I think Peter was kind of that way. Now, he had a problem, though. Here he is walking on water. Now, understand, he's going beyond natural boundaries. And I'm telling you right now that you can go beyond natural boundaries. His natural boundary is not matter. Glory to God. That matter will not dictate how far he can go. Now, in this case, it's gravity. It's a law of gravity. It's not affecting him. Why? Because he's walking on the word. He is walking on the faith of come, which is a higher reality. Glory to God. So now he's walking, but once he starts, it said that he looked away. What did he look at? He looked at the wind. Now, I believe when he did that, he processed that. And it brought him back down into a natural reasoning. Watch this. Which immediately stripped him of his faith, and the miracle ceased. Got it? I'm saying that when you're walking in the supernatural, when God has told you to do something, when you know you heard God and you stepped out there on it, don't look away from the word 1 minute. Stay right there because it's feeding your faith. It's feeding that faith. Say amen to that. I'm talking about just received a bad report from the doctor or whatever have you. I understand. But get that word and start feeding it on it. Feeding on it. Come on now. All right. So, that's no longer a boundary, meaning that gravity now would stop Jesus from going somewhere. No, it's no longer a boundary. And Jesus said, the things that I do, so you do also. So I'm just showing you these things now. Because where we've looked at the three boundaries, matter, space, and time, each one of those I've shown you. Well, let's look at space now. Go to John chapter 6. Now, I'm laying it on you today. You know, because I think I got some faith giants in here. All right. Let's check it out. All right. Now, I'm slowing this down because I really desire for you to pick this up and start operating in it immediately. I'm believing God for that. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus would not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 20 or 30 furlongs, 3 or 4 miles out, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh into the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not what? Afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Got it? All right. Now let me just read the rest of that for the analytical folk. Let me just read the rest of it. Look at verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one whereunto the disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples unto the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence cometh thou hither? When did you come here? Got it? All right, so let's go back up to verse 21. Here they are, 3 or 4 miles out. Here comes Jesus walking on the sea. But the next thing he does, he gets in the boat. And once he gets in the boat, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, what happened to the process of rowing? It went away. Come on, help me now. So Jesus, at one point, the boat was 3 or 4 miles out. And then as soon as he got in the boat, immediately the boat was at the land. Okay, let's go over it again. When he was approaching the boat was 3 or 4 miles out. And when Jesus got in the boat was at the land. One more time. The boat was 3 or 4 miles out, but when Jesus got in the boat was at its destination. So I'm saying tonight you can be in debt, but get Jesus in the boat. And tomorrow by this time, you'll be debt free. You got what I'm saying? You got to apply it to your life. You may have a real problem right now, but get Jesus tonight in that boat. And by daytime, oh Lord have mercy, you're going to be out of debt, out of the situation. Now, notice what happened to space. It went away. I said it went away. And it seems like he moved at the speed of thought. Come on now, come on. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that, put Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 up on the board, please. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is always when? Now. So faith always being now, faith is a higher law than space, time, or matter. So faith doesn't need time. In fact, Lord have mercy, glory to God, help me, Lord Holy Ghost. Faith declares or determines when something will be, and time bows to it. Time will imprison anyone who will conform to it. Got it? Now understand, we have an image inside that we've got to wait. That's the image that's been painted. Lord, I told you I'm gonna take you out there tonight. That's the image that's been painted. But faith overrides time because faith is operating on a higher level than time is. Time is a created thing. Time was created by God. Do you agree to that? Amen. All right. Turn with me to Psalm 8, please. Psalm 8. Let me know when you get there. In Psalm 8, he says in verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. That word, the angels, is the word Elohim. It is the only place in the Old Testament where angels translates God. and has crowned him with glory, that's the anointing, and honor, that's the position that Adam lost. Verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion over everything but time. Is that what that says? No, it didn't. It says over the works of thy hands. Watch this. Thou hast put how many things? All things, come on, under his feet. God has never intended for any of his children to be conformed to a fallen world. Faith does not even comprehend time. Has no respect for it. Faith determines when something is going to happen. And when you operate that way, time bows out of the picture. Because your faith and the force of faith that you release, which is often released through words, will determine what will happen to time. So what happens? David said, this day shall the Lord deliver you, come on, into my hands. Notice, faith is dictating to time what's going to happen this day. Say amen to that. How many days had Israel confronted Goliath and the army of the Philistines before David got there? Anybody remember? 40 days. Time. And I'm going to tell you, if you allow time, it will imprison you. And it will take you for a roller coaster ride, which a lot of people give out of time. Come on. And matter of fact, doctors will give people time. But no man has the right to dictate your life except the one who made you. Or no woman. My point to you is, stop seeing time as a boundary. See time for what it is. Something that is an element that was put in the earth like other elements to keep the earth in order. But you, through faith, can break the power of time. You dictate how quickly that'll be healed. Say amen to that. Here was a man. He was by the pool of Bethesda. And he had been there 38 years. And at a certain season, an angel would come down and stir the water. And whoever jumped in first after the stirring of the water was healed of whatsoever disease they had. Jesus came on the scene, crossed over everybody else, and got to this man and said, do you want to be made whole? He said, well, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But the moment I'm starting to come, somebody else jumps down in front of me. He said, I understand that. That's the mercy. Five porches. Grace. But I'm going to tell you something. That is a situation where you're waiting on an angel. But I can tell you, if you use your faith, you determine what time is going to be. I'm telling you, a lot of people thank God for the mercy of God, but they wait and hope in God, get down time. Wait. We can do something about that.
That's right. That's right.
Now, you're not trying to order God around. You see, you have inherited the same ability as Jesus. I better come over here to say that. You have inherited the same abilities as Jesus. Let me ask you, did Jesus have to wait? Well, if he didn't have to wait, and I've inherited his same ability, and he said the things that he did, I can do too. I don't have to wait. Think of time, everything in time. I need my term paper by 2 weeks from now. I need my paycheck's not coming to another week. So forth. Look at all the time. And we are so conditioned to it, the time just got us marching. Just wherever time was, it just got us marching. Folks, we're going to have to renew our minds to do it, because God cannot work through you except to the degree that you believe. Now, don't fake believe it. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Uh-huh, yeah. If your faith has no proof, it's a fake. Oh, yeah, folks. Now, I'm not done yet. I'm just stopping right there. Now, we're about to see some of this happen in the church in these last days. This is my prophetic word to you tonight. We're about to see some overriding time happen here. I remember when we were forming our Joseph Business School, and I remember I had Ray and Dolores were a couple who were forming the Joseph Business School, and I said, okay. I said, now I need you to go out and do some G2 for me just to see what we need and how we can do this and so forth. This is my vision, da-da-da-da. They got all of that. And they came back. I said, why don't you come back and tell me how long it's going to take you to open the first school? They came back and told me, Pastor, it'll take about 8 to 9 to 10 months. I said, God just told me while you were away, it's going to take 2 months. I said, now go make it happen. Well, all right. Now, wait a minute. Whatever he says to you, do it. See, that's the key to the miracles. Because I'm a little child. Now, I'm not going to analyze what you just said. I'm going to just carry it and say amen to that. And so what happened was they went out and all of a sudden, boom, University of Michigan or something came up with a course and wanted to give him that. They had spent years writing in and said, hey, you can have this. And then somebody else said, you can have this. Next thing you know, in 2 months, we had the course ready to go. Amen. Now, wait a minute. It wouldn't have happened if they wouldn't obey the prophet.
Right.
Come on now.
Amen.
No, no, no. We've been letting time dictate to us. We need to dictate to time. But you can't dictate to time unless you're over time. And you can't get over time except by faith. Does this make sense to you? All right. Let's take a couple more. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, please. Chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. All right. Y'all with me so far?
Yes.
Remember, Satan wants to keep you in time. Because remember, he's locked in time. You can't go outside of time. He has to stay in things that such is common to man. So he has to stay there. Fear always keeps you in time. If you're afraid, you're in time. You cannot escape time with fear. You must escape it with faith. All right? All right, so let's look at this. Let's look, starting at verse 24. In verse 24, it says, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a who? A Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, somewhere there, somebody's being called a dog here. I'm not sure where it is, okay? But when he says this, he's saying it's not proper to take the children's bread and to throw it to dogs. And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." You with me? And he said unto her, "For this saying," Lord have mercy, "go thy way, the devil is gone out of your daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out of her daughter, and upon a daughter, and daughter laid upon a bed. Now let me ask you something. What happened? Here's a woman. She was a Syrophoenician. And Jesus said, "Wait a minute. Let the children first be fed." If you would, just put up on the board for me Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith." Now notice what he said. To the Jew what? First. So Jesus said, wait, not your turn yet, daughter. You got to stay out. Not your time. Not your time. It's not your time. Then he said something that would just absolutely insult her. Said, "It's not proper to give children's bread to dogs." The woman said, "Okay." But notice, faith never gets offended. Never. If you ever get offended, you have left faith and you are vulnerable for the devil. Never. Because faith is in another dimension. It takes you up to a level that you have left the emotional realm. Folks, that's why we try to sing songs that are faith songs, that are word songs. That too much of the church wants a song that makes them cry. It's nothing wrong with that every now and then, but don't live off of that, because you're just trying to put your emotions before the word. It's nothing wrong with emotion, but put the word out there first. And the word is not emotional. You will find the times that I have had the most powerful prayers answered, it's times that I felt nothing. I waited till everybody left the house when I was in seminary in ORU, and I said, "Lord, now I need some things here. I've got some requirements here." I said, "I've got a covenant in my hand, and you promised to give me some things. Now, I'm not fussing at God. I'm just making myself be fully persuaded." And I said, "Okay." I said, "I'm going to do it like the book." Went in there and got a bath, came out with a shirt on, just like I was still working for the computer company. Came out there, got on my knees, just lift my hands, start praising God first, because I follow in the book. Come before his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful to him and bless his name. So I'm doing all of that, not because I feel like praising him. I don't feel like doing nothing but sitting down and crying about it. But I'm going to take my flesh and put it under and make myself obey the covenant of Almighty God. So what happens then? I began to talk about what the condition was and what the answer was. God knows what you're going through. He wants you to give him something to work with. And it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you what? Receive them and you shall have them. You don't desire the problem, you desire the answer. So present the answer to him and believe you've received it when? when you pray. Here's what he says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is a confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And glory to God, if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petition that we desired of him. How do you know you have it? Because you ask. How did you ask? According to his will. If you ask God according to his will, then you know you got it. Now, he didn't say feel it, smell it. He didn't say see it with your eyes. He said you've just got to believe you received it when you prayed. And folks, it was 10 things I prayed. Then I said, Lord, you got any questions? He asked me 2 questions. I answered those questions. I just said, how you know he answered? I believe he was asking me these questions. And then I said, thank you, Lord, and I began to praise him. Those prayers got ticked off just like that. Now notice what I couldn't do. I had cried already. That didn't get him. Come on, help me now. See, I'm saying, listen, God goes by the rules that he set up. Whew. Man, I didn't mean to preach that hard. I didn't bring no extra church. Okay, are you with me? All right, so here's a woman. Her time is not yet come. It's not payday yet. But that didn't disturb her, because normally she'd have to wait, because first the gospel came to the Jew, then to the Gentile. So this woman was asking for something that her time was not there yet. Faith takes time backwards or forward. Keep something right there, and let's turn over with me, please, over to 2 Kings and chapter 20. Now, I ask you, were you ready for this? Where's my... Oh, I'm out of time. But we're going to override time tonight, praise God. All right, now this is a wonderful principle that I'm teaching you here, because this is the way faith works. And this revelation of time is the doorway to miracles. This is it. Now let's go over to, what did I tell you? 2 Kings chapter 20. All right. Look what it says here. This is when Hezekiah was told to get his house in order, for his time is over. And he's going to have to go, he's going to have to die. In verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, thy God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thee thy days 15 years, and I'll deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I'll defend this city for my own sake, and for my son, my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Verse 8. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? In other words, what's going to be the sign that I'm going to live 15 more years? And Isaiah said, this sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he had spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return back 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. So what am I saying? The sundial. The sundial is giving you time according to the shadow of the sun. And so here's what he asked him. He said, let me ask you something. Just to prove to you, to give you a sign. How many of you know we don't have to ask God for a sign today? You ask God for a sign sometimes, you might get a sign, all right. You know what happened to Zechariah, don't you? He got a sign, all right. He got his mouth closed and couldn't speak for 9 months. All right, now, you don't have to do that. You can get a bearing witness from the Holy Ghost. All right, so what happened? The sun, it shined on the sundial, and he said, do you want it to go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? He said, well, to go forward is an easy thing. But what God was talking about is rapidly go forward. One moment be in one place, the next tick of the second hand, it's going to be in the next place. Are you following what I'm saying? So God, by faith, can take time for you forward or backwards. All right. So what happened in this woman's case? Let me ask you. What happened in this woman's case? What happened? I'm talking about the Syrophoenician woman now. So what happened in her case? All right. She said something. She said, yeah, Lord, I understand that. But the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table of your children. He said, woman, for this saying. She got that saying from wisdom. Because when God gives you wisdom, nobody can gainsay or resist it. How do you access wisdom? If any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God gives it to you liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The only way you can get wisdom of God is by faith. She got in faith and moved her time from the future into the now. And you can move your paycheck. Folks, we can do some things with this. Now, I can jump down in here and we can talk about some deep things we can do with this right here. I ain't going to talk about it right now because y'all think I might be out there too far. Let's go to the last place. Let's go to John chapter 11. We'll be done. Boy, we get a hold of this right here. And we can do some stuff, I'm telling you. Oh, yeah. Override time. See, your wait is over. Now, I just want to give you a word here. I see now I'm going to have to finish this up next time because we're going to have to talk about this. I want this to be in your spirit. Here's the word I got. You ready? To believe that it takes time for you to manifest your provision, that could be money that you have sown seed for, or God's promises on this earth, is unbelief. To believe, in other words, Jesus didn't have to wait. Come on now. I'm saying in the last days, Amos 9:13 says the plowman is going to overtake the reaper. I have just inherited Jesus' ability, and whatever he could do, I can do too. When he needed tax money, did he send Peter to the fishing? Yes, he did. Did Peter catch fish? He said, how many fish? What fish did Peter going to catch? The first fish. He didn't have them out there all day. Just go out there. God has hid the money in the fish's mouth. Go fish. Get the first fish. Open its mouth. Don't throw the fish back. We got to cook him. And bring the money on in here and let's pay the tax. Come on. I said, you got a tax bill due. And God's going to tell you to sow a seed pop tonight and tomorrow. Something's going to happen to that tax bill. We got to stop thinking like that. We have to start thinking like that. Look at John, John chapter 11. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Here's Jesus coming to the gravesite of a man named Lazarus. Lazarus had died, and he is Jesus. Watch this. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had... Thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask God, he'll give it to you. Boy, she caught a revelation of that. And Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Watch this. Martha said to him, well, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection and the last day. That's the future. Jesus said to her, come on. You don't know who I am, Martha. I am the last day. And I've come from the last day to this day. And we're going to get him up this day. One of the things that just messed the devil's mind up is Jesus overriding time. The enemy... It just absolutely, because the enemy is locked in time. He's got to wait. But Jesus didn't have to wait on anything. Let me give you another one real quick and we'll start here next time. Water, the wedding at Cana. And notice what Jesus came. Jesus said, came to the wedding at Cana. And the mother of Jesus said to Jesus, they have no wine. What did Jesus say? Woman, what is that to me? My hour is not yet come. Watch what she said. She just turned to the servant and said, whatever he says to you. Watch this. See, she's using her faith to bring him out of time into the eternal. Whatever he says to you, do it. And that triggered the miracle. Next thing that happened, watch this. He said, fill the water pots up with water. And notice they fill them up with water to the brim, however many gallons and so forth, 30 or 40 gallons. And the next thing you know, he said, now bear out to the governor of the feast. Take it, dip it out, take it to the governor. Governor takes, whoo, wow, goodness. He said, you. Some of y'all jumped when I said that. Ooh. Y'all know how y'all used to do. Okay, all right, come on. I don't mean to take you back. I'm going forward. We're going forward. We're going forward. I took y'all back for a minute. Okay, but anyway, here's my point to you. Notice, water, wine, process, plant grape seeds, they grow, takes about 9 years for the grapes to come fully on the vine. Take the grapes, pick them, mash them. Get the juice, ferment them, age them for good wine, and then bottle them and bring them to the feast. Long time. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. Long time. Now understand, that's according to your what?
Faith
be it unto you. It is biblical and it's available for you, but God needs your faith to make that happen. Jesus operated that way, and that's the way that he is intended for the believers to operate. Folks, when the glory of God comes into the earth, the glory of God is there to bring heaven to earth. And in heaven, the time that we experience in the earth is no more. So heaven, eternity, is now invading the earth's temporal realm. And you're going to see things happen, time go back, time go forward. I'm just saying people who have lost things, teeth and so forth, they're going to come back because time's going to go back. I'm talking about people, come on, who've been waiting on things. Time's going to speed up. The contract is not going to take that long. Money is not going to take that long to come through and so forth and so on. I prophesy that time will be no more in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord one more praise, would you? Now, I challenge you to go into your Bible and you go and start looking at places where you see something happening here. Just go into healing. Go into Mark's gospel and just look at how many times he say immediately he was healed. Watch this. Straightway the devil was cast out, so forth and so on. Notice, it wasn't a 12-step program. It's straightway. All right? If somebody's here and you know in your life that you're not right with God, and in other words, you're not born again. Now, you've been maybe religious or you've been in churches before, but you don't have a relationship with him. This is a place that you come and get connected up.